Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Well, today we're going to veer. I would really encourage you if you were not here last week. I don't usually say, hey, listen to my podcast, but I really feel like last week was an important message. And so if you weren't here, I encourage you to get the podcast. And we usually have all our sermons up by Tuesday or Wednesday. So listen to last week. Anybody build a city this week? Anybody build up a city? Raise your hand if you build up a city, meaning you built up someone. Anybody build up someone? You know, Len, do you feel a little more built up? I didn't really think of that when I was doing it, but it's simple to encourage people. So I encourage you this week to build some people up. But we have a separate slide, Stephen, to put up there. We're going to talk about love today. I also felt like I didn't want a winter picture. We need to have some warmth. So let's just think on that picture for 1 minute. So, well, then we can glean from the picture. I know it's not fair. I'm not there either, so. But, you know, we just celebrated Valentine's Day. We're not usually people that go by topics and different things. Sometimes on Easter, we're talking about something totally different. But I felt like, you know, we talk around love a lot, but we don't talk about love a lot. And the Bible, of course, has a lot to say about love, doesn't it? And so please understand, and Krista's going to join me, my wife, in a few minutes. We're going to give some practical things. But we're not just talking about love and marriage. Because, actually, turn to the most famous scripture that you hear at weddings. Anybody know what it is? 1 Corinthians 13. Now, it's interesting that we all know that people read that at weddings. But you know that was really never written for a wedding? That was written for the body of Christ. We somehow have put it onto weddings. And unfortunately, we don't even always do it well in marriage, let alone in other relationships. But we're going to start there. 1 Corinthians 13. What I love about the word love, actually in King James, they translate it charity, but it's the word agape. And agape love is really a word, honestly. How many know that it is hard to love without God in our hearts, Jesus in our hearts? How many realize that? It's hard enough to love with Jesus in our hearts sometimes. And I don't know how you do it without it, honestly. Loving people can be difficult. And loving people the way Jesus calls us to love, I think is impossible without Jesus. And that word agape actually really has the fact that Jesus really has to be involved with agape love. So there we go. We got it, a bigger version now. There we go. Love. Love, love, love. I'm going to read you two definitions. One of them is our mission statement, vision statement for Antioch. Our vision statement says this: Antioch is a community of hope-filled believers. Any hope-filled believers in here? Come on, we should all be getting our hands up. We should have hope. Honestly, the body of Christ should be full of hope. So we're going to do that again. Antioch is a community of hope-filled believers. Anybody here? Woo! All right. Hope-filled believers who are passionate about providing opportunities for people to encounter Jesus. Anybody encounter Jesus today? Man, I felt him during worship. I really felt him during worship. It was beautiful. We desire to raise up mighty ones who are empowered to advance the kingdom of God by impacting their spheres of influence. We want to raise you up to be mighty ones to go and advance the kingdom of God. A shorter version is, forging mighty ones to advance the kingdom. It's a pretty short version. So before we ever use the word mighty one, we use the word powerful people. Any powerful people in here? We should all be saying we're powerful people. Now, how many know or should know that powerful people are not the ones that yell the loudest in a room? That's the opposite of powerful. If you got to yell the loudest to get your attention in your way, you're probably not powerful. Have you ever seen somebody walk into a room with a gentle spirit that changes the atmosphere and you know they're a powerful person? They never had to say anything about it. They're actually, you know, just kind. Like, that's the type of powerful person I want to be. I want to be somebody that changes an atmosphere without even saying a word. To me, that's the greatest thing. But I want to give you a definition of powerful people. This is Danny Silk. Powerful people take responsibility for their lives and their choices. That's a good starting, isn't it? Powerful people take responsibility. Have you ever been in a situation where you know you could get out of it with one text that pushes the truth a little bit? You forgot to do something and you can stretch the truth that you were occupied that day. But if you say, man, I was really busy that day, maybe it'll get me out of what I should have done. Nobody else? Maybe just me. We take responsibility for our lives and our choices. Powerful people choose who they want to be with, what they're going to pursue in life, and how they're going to go after it. I'll read that one more time. Powerful people choose who they want to be with, what they're going to pursue in life, and how they're going to go after it. When we start to read Danny Silk material and you start to realize he wanted you to look at words like, I can't, I can't. Words like, I have to, or I'll try. And you think, I don't use those words very often. I encourage you this week to mark those three words down and watch how often they can slip out of your mouth without even realizing it. Yeah, I'll try to get that done. Oh, I can't do that. What was the other one? I have to. Oh man, I have to take out the garbage. Those are actually powerless words that we use. And we think we don't, but often they slip out of our mouth without us even realizing it. Can anybody think of a time that you've used those words in the last week? You can't? Well, there you go. You just... Thank you, Claude. Moving right along. Thank you, Claude. Okay, so why am I saying powerful people and talking about love? Because people that love well are powerful people. People that love well are powerful people. And we want to love well. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13. Again, what I love about it, it's not meant for weddings. It's meant for the body of Christ. It's meant for every interaction that we come in, every person we come in contact with. What I also love is that we read 1 Corinthians 13 and we start at a certain verse, but there's a whole bunch before it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the last verse, verse 31, it says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Because it goes through all this stuff about all the gifts, and you know, you want the gifts and you want to desire them, but then it says this, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And he's later on going to go back talking about the gifts, but what we have to realize is that you could have all the gifts in the world and all the talent in the world, but he's like, hey, but I want to make sure I show you an excellent way. And by the way, when he wrote this, he didn't have chapters. So it wasn't like, okay, stop. It was, I'm going to show you a more excellent way, and here it is. And let's start at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. So I think that would be pretty amazing if I could speak the language of angels. Not just tongues, you know, speaking in the spirit, but man, if I could talk and communicate and they had a language and I could speak that language, I'd feel pretty good. But he says, if I have all that but don't have love, I've become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, I play the drums. I love the drums. But the drums at the wrong moment are so irritating, aren't they? You know, if you're trying to have a conversation, there's a little kid in the room and they're like smashing. It's like, stop. And yet that's what it's talking about. You could have that. You could have that ability, but you're just like a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I could be like Rod and I could be like Dorman together. That prophetic, boom, inside of me. And I could understand all the mysteries and all knowledge. I could figure out how they made the pyramids. And though I have all faith that I could move a mountain, but have, you know, I'm adding the part about the pyramids, just making sure. But have not love, I am nothing. Isn't that crazy? I've often said the gospel is an upside down gospel. Because everything we pursue in the world is opposite to God. You know, you get an award, you think you've made it. And you could have all that, but if you got it through being vile and a bully and a jerk and all these things, it means nothing. It means nothing. And though I bestow all my goods, like this gets really serious, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, anybody do that lately? But have not love, it profits me nothing. To go through all that and still not have love, it profits you nothing. Now, this is where we usually pick up at a wedding. We forget all that other part. And we read it, and everybody nods their heads, and then we get married. And then, you know, the honeymoon wears off. Krista and I are still on our honeymoon. 22 and a half years and counting. How many have been married more than 50 years in the room? Come on, look at that. Raise your hands really tall. Look at that. Though that is really remarkable. Yeah, let's. You were only nine. How many have been married more than 25 years? Raise your hand. Beautiful. That's so good. And then all the others. Now, seriously, when we read these at a wedding, and so often they're just words on a page, and yet this is the greatest thing we could pursue. He just through his word said, you could have all that other stuff. If you don't have love, it's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. Love suffers long. Okay, let's make a rule right now if you're married. No nudging at any point while I'm speaking today. That's just, no. No nudging your husband, your wife, okay? Love does not nudge, yeah. Love suffers long. Oh, I could say so many jokes about my dad right now. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Anybody want that type of love in here? To another level, because I think we all have it. But anybody want it to another level? I would love that to another level. I can tell you every one of those I have come up short at some point, and I want to grow. I really do. Krista have made it one of our things. You know, one of the things we said in Powerful People is they take responsibility, but they choose what they want to pursue in life and how they're going to go after it. When Krista and I got married, one of the things that we said early on is we don't want an okay marriage. We don't want a mediocre marriage. We want an amazing marriage. Anybody else? Like, when I got married, I didn't want it to just be okay. Now, I'll say that the same with my friends in the room. Like, when I have a close friend, I'm not looking for it to be like a kind of an okay, crummy relationship. I work hard with my friends to make sure that we have a good relationship. I work hard, hopefully, with my staff. And Rod and I have had some wonderful conversations and some challenging conversations. And we try to really work out our relationship and get better at it. So when I look at these things, I ask myself, how long do I suffer at times? And how much do I want to just give in? And how kind am I? Envy. Oh my goodness. We can start there and talk about that all day. How often we envy with our love. Ah. Does not seek his own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. You know I'm big on this right now because I look at the body of Christ and I wish we could get that one right. Because when somebody falls, there are sections of the body of Christ that rejoices. And I think it says we're not supposed to rejoice in iniquity. We're not supposed to rejoice when somebody else's sin gets exposed and they fall. We should actually be getting on our knees going, Lord, help these people. Because for the grace of God, you and I walk around here. And it's often said when a hurricane comes and destroys homes, they'll go, yeah, that's judgment. And I think, well, what did they do so bad that it missed my house? Because if we look at that, we're all guilty. So I think the body of Christ misses it a lot here, and we should be like, Lord, help, help, help. But that's not my political party. I don't care if it's your political party. We should be praying for people. Anybody else? Yes, amen. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. Well, what we're going to do, we're just going to take some time. We won't be that long today. I'm going to invite Krista to come up. She's been looking forward to this all week. And she's like, can I come up? Please, can I come up? She's like, you roast me all the time, and I'm going to get the mic. So I don't know what she's... Do we have the other mic? Then we don't have to back. What we want to share is just kind of some things from our life that we have found have made our relationship grow. And again, this is not just marriage stuff. Some of it may be obviously related more to marriage than other things. But I think the minute you stop trying to make relationships better is the minute they go backwards. Relationships take work. Turn to your neighbor and say, man, it takes a lot of work to be with you.
Jay, it takes a lot of work to be with you.
See, she's got the mic. Actually, maybe we should use just one mic. But the reality is, a good relationship is going to take work. It's going to take thought. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot. So we're going to talk and hopefully give analogies. So the first one that I believe, if you were going to look up any type of relationships, anything to do with love, the thing that I believe undergirds everything is this C word, and it's called communication. I don't care what you do in any relationship. If you don't communicate, it's not going to work. Now, this is how I look at it. I've done a lot of marriage counseling in the last 20 years. And a lot of times I look at marriages, and this is what it often looks like. This is my analogy. Honey, I have an itch. Can you itch it?
Where?
You should just know. You know me well enough to know where my itch is.
What? I don't know.
So then it's on my back. Now, most of us know how to do this, right? She starts itching. No. Lower. No. Lower. Oh, there. We know how to do that when it comes to a good, like, itch, scratch on my back. Thank you. But when it comes to major things in our life, we're like, you should just know. You should just understand these things. Krista and I made a decision, I made a decision really early on to communicate. We didn't talk about this story.
Uh-oh.
Do you want to talk about the story of what it looked like when we first started to communicate? You know where I'm going?
When we were dating?
No.
I don't know where you're going.
Apparently, it was when we were dating.
Okay. So, I grew up in a house that did not communicate at all. And so, when I met Jay, he's Mr. Gabber, and he wants to talk about everything and talk through everything. And that was totally foreign to me. So, I think the first time we ever got in an argument when we were dating, it was at our house, or my house, and I'm like, okay, you can just go now, and I'm just going to go to my room, and that's it. He's like, oh, no. He literally sat on me and would not let me leave the room. And he forced me to communicate with him. So if that tells you anything about the rest of what we've done, that's just a little piece of it.
I didn't hurt her. Let's just get the story straight. I haven't done that with you, Rod. That wouldn't work, would it? We came from such opposite spectrums that she honestly didn't know how to communicate. Tell about your first family communication trial.
We had a family meeting.
This is not us. This is her family with her
and
parents.
It was my parents, my sister, and I, and my uncle actually happened to be there. I don't know if he was our mediator. He just happened to be there. I think within the first 5 minutes, we all got upset. My sister and I just went to our rooms, slammed our doors, and that was the end of our family meeting. And we never talked about it again after that. So, yeah.
I grew up in a house where we talked about everything. It usually looked like yelling, but we talked about everything. And we had some pretty great conversations at our dinner table, some heated conversations. We used to actually, unbeknownst to our parents, we used to tape our conversations so we had blackmail if we ever needed to. But those tapes no longer exist as far as I'm aware. But we really honestly did talk, yell, poor communication, good communication. But we did. We communicated. So we grew up on absolutely opposite ends of the spectrum. So to this day, we'll go on vacation and we'll I'll just keep asking her questions in the pool until she says stop. But through it, I have found things out about Krista I would have never have known. Honestly, if you don't ask questions, it's like trying to have somebody itch your back without telling them where the itch is. And we've grown so much from those questions that we've asked. And she's gotten really good at starting to ask questions for me now.
I'm getting there.
So think about this. Everything else we're going to talk about, everything has to do with communication. Now, let me ask you this. We'll go back to the love every once in a while because that's what we're talking about. How many have ever been offended and the person you're offended with has no clue? Raise your hand. And you never tell them. If you want to keep your hand up to that truth. You know how often we do that in this world, that we're offended with people and we never tell them we're offended. But we do tell them, don't we? But we don't tell them, but we do tell them. Body language. Silence. And we call that powerful communication. No, it's not. It's called manipulation, or it's called powerless communication. You know, we said it earlier, you know, you tell a joke. My kids are good enough to go, Dad, that is the stupidest joke. But if not, they roll their eyes. You know, you can communicate a lot of different ways. But often we just don't sit down and share our hearts of why we're offended, and then people split, people break, people, all that. So, all right, you're up next. Yep.
Valid voice.
Okay. So he talked about being, did you say, I don't know if you said anything about being valued, but as part of our relationship, we have to value one another's voice. So I'm drawing a blank as an example now. Okay, start talking and I'll think of something.
One of the things, actually, do this with me. Turn in your Bibles. I want to read something. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Again, I think the body of Christ has done an injustice at weddings where we read a portion of scriptures and not always understanding all of it. Ephesians 5, verse 22. And we love to quote this one as men. Anybody know where I'm going? Wives, submit. And then we just leave it at that. Submit to me. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Oh, we love that line too. I'm the head of the wife. As also Christ is head of the church, as he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, look at husbands. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to her. How did Jesus do that? He died. You know, in relationships, we often want to one-up people. You know, right? You're in conversation, you're talking about the fish that you caught, Pastor Rod, you know, and he talks about this size fish. Oh, it's this big now? Oh. He talks about the fish that he catches, and the next person goes, oh, yeah, well, when I was fishing, I caught one this big. And the next insecure person in the room says, oh, yeah, well, on my trip, and everybody just tries to get the next bigger. And it's amazing that we're looking at this, and we're talking about how we're supposed to submit, and it says, like Jesus did to the church. Jesus died. Jesus died. And I see, again, so many relationships where somebody is trying to overdo somebody instead of dying. And I have to learn at times. I've had my insecurities jump up. You know, this is a simple one, but it's funny how, you know, Mike did with the team. He had a couple people work. Mike did these carpets. Are we not blessed that he cleaned these carpets? And if you actually did the work that he did, you'd be clapping way louder. So, like, these carpets take a lot of work. But I remember he came out. This is how, it's funny how little things can jump up. And he told me about his new method of doing the carpets. And the first thing inside of me was, I have my method, and I showed you my method, and my method is good. But he's like, hey, I've got a new method. And it's silly how things can, like, Yeah, but I want to one-up them because my method's better. Thankfully, Holy Spirit's like, do you still want to clean carpets? I'm like, no. Mike, your method's amazing. And you could do it all the time. I retire from cleaning the carpets. But isn't it amazing the little things that can come up in your spirit? But it basically says this mutual. And so I had to early on decide, because this is an incredibly capable woman. Honestly. Incredibly. Actually, if I could be real, I dated a lot of unhealthy people growing up. When I dated Krista, she was the first person that didn't need me. I'm serious. Because a lot of times we're attracted to people that have, I was, because that's my nature. I like to help people. So you're attracted to people that need help. And I meet Krista, I'm like, she doesn't need my help. This actually could work. This could be real love. But she's an amazing, capable person. And so I had to early on go, do I want to one-up her every time when she actually has knowledge and things that I don't have? How crazy is that? So we're talking about having a value. So one of the things, this is a really practical thing. This is going really practical. Of things that we did to communicate and to value each other, which we had never done until about 10 years into our relationship.
Probably.
Talk about it.
You talking the dry?
Yep.
Okay. So we went, I believe we went to a conference in North Carolina, and it was a long drive. So we're sitting there, and we had just, I think, taken the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University course that we did. And so we decided that we were going to write down what our dreams and goals were together. And I think as we started sharing, we didn't realize the importance of some things, how important certain things were to each other. And it was sort of an eye-opening experience. I need you to sit or stand by me. Okay. Because I don't want to look back, but I want to look at you. So we started writing all these things down. And over the course of the next 10 years until now, we've worked towards each one of those goals, whether they're financial goals, are they vacation dreams that we have, just different things. And we actually made it a point to work towards each and every one of those. And now some of them may not have been what I wanted to do, and they were all what he wanted to do, but because we're one, we work on them together. And
vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been fun, actually.
How many are S personalities? How many know if you're an S personality? S stands for, remind me again, I'm missing
steadfast.
It. Steady, steadfast. But the S personality is, so if I say, hey, where would you like to go out for dinner? The S personality says, I don't know, where would you like to go out for dinner? And no matter what you say, they're like, no, where would you like to go for dinner? Now, raise your hand if you're an S personality. You just always defer back to the person. Krista's a CS, so I didn't realize that when I first got married, she constantly deferred back to me. So I'm like, this is great. I get to have all my goals. And if you have an S personality friend, you will be like, they always defer back to you. This is great. We get to go wherever I want to eat. I had to learn to communicate and find a way to get out of her dreams, because she would always defer. What do you want to do? What would you like to do? Where would you like to go? And you may think, all you S personalities, that's an honoring thing. There are dreams inside of you that need to come out. Now, it is good, because the nice thing about an S personality is they are steadfast and they will be with you forever. But that doesn't mean they're always going to be happy with you forever. And it doesn't matter if you're married to them or they're just a friend in your life. If we love each other and we are going to love and suffer long and all that, so the S personality may go, I'm just being like Jesus and I'm going to suffer long for you. But that's not communication and love. There are times, and we're going to get into one, where it is really suffering, and there's parts of that. But an S personality needs to learn to go, hey, but I do like to eat here. Can we go there? So on this trip, we wrote things down we didn't even think about. We wrote financial things. We wrote dreams that we've now accomplished that if we wouldn't have taken that time, we would have missed all those opportunities. Because days, weeks, and months, anybody else realize that a week feels like a month and a month feels like a year nowadays? You blink, February's half over. Mm-hmm. Like, we're now a month and a half already into 2020. And I remember last year talking about that, and I remember being done. And so there's so many dreams that we have. And one of the things that I love, and I believe that marriages should work this way and friendships, I believe my goal is to make her dreams happen, to be a part of it. And simultaneously, she's trying to make my dreams happen. Now, it's not her responsibility to make my dreams happen, but it's a heart desire to go, man, I love you so much, I want to see things happen. But I feel the same way about Pastor Rod. Not the same way, he's laughing like. You guys should probably sit back there sometimes. But as a coworker, I want to see all that Rod has come to pass. That's the same for everybody. You know, I want to see for Dorman. I want to see Dorman has dreams, and every once in a while we'll talk about these things, and I know he has dreams in his heart. Don't we as friends want to see those dreams come to pass? Man, don't we want to champion and go, man, I'd love to see that happen. Not if, well, if he gets to do that, that's not fair. You know, you've got to experience some things, and he shows me pictures. I'm like, that's awesome. We want to see people excel and celebrate. Celebrate it, amen? So when's the last time you with a friend or you with your spouse sat down and wrote out dreams that you have? Do you know the dreams of your spouse's heart? It's easy. How many have been married for 25 years? It's easy to forget about the dreams of our heart. And if you've been married 50 years, don't think there's not still dreams in somebody's heart. There are dreams in people's hearts that we go, man, what do you dream about? What do you love? What's next, babe? I'm just like all around her. And
we started talking about that too.
We wrote down compromise. How many believe compromise should be a part of relationships? Yeah, it sounds like a bad word, but every time you go and you say, hey, we're going out to dinner again, and if the S goes, where do you want to go? That's not compromise. If you're a strong personality, you need to go, no, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? And usually, you know what? They know. Right? I don't know. I don't know. Okay, I'd like to go. It's just been sitting there. They're just afraid to say it. So if you're a strong personality, we got to learn to go, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Karen, where do you love to eat? Gyros and more? Let's go fancier. Come on, we're setting a standard for Rod right now. It's an opportunity. The keg. Do you love the keg? She's an S, I know. I'm working on it right now. Red Lobster. How many S personalities in here? Raise your hand if you're an S personality. If you're married to that person, ask them right now where they want to eat at. I'm giving you an opportunity. Ask right now. This is where it gets really long. I don't know. I don't know where I want to eat.
All right, have we figured it out? We all know where we're going for lunch after, right? Okay.
The keg.
Really? So along with that, really what it is in our lives, things change and we still need to understand one another is as you go through the seasons of life. So we talk about sometimes how our dreams and desires may change. And when we first dated or got married, all was good, but then you have kids and things change. And maybe the way you communicate or things that you thought were fun and, you know, this is what we're going to do now, it's different when you have kids. And a lot of you here have experienced now your kids being gone, and then the relationship changes again. So part of, I think, love is learning to change. You have to learn to adapt to the things and circumstances that are around you as well. So we haven't experienced too many of those yet, but we do it.
I think it's interesting. Krista's mom had this, I don't even know what it was. It was out of an old magazine. Any women thankful you live today and not 40 years ago, 50 years ago? Some of you I know were alive, but this thing, it was like the, how to, I don't know what the words, I'm going to say cater, but I don't know what the words they used were. But it was like, when your husband gets home, make sure. And it had the list. And it was a real article. It was not fake. And it was like the slippers at the door with the newspaper, with the pipe. You know, make sure your hair looks perfect.
You're cooking dinner.
Jeez, this is actually sounding better than I thought. No, sorry. But it was this idea that you're going to be so perfect because your husband's had such a hard day. And I thought to myself, because we live in today's day and age, and I've watched, you know, we had 3 kids in 14 months. I think, how on earth could she have ever have done that? But what we neglected was the day that they had. I remember you, I don't know if it was a story you told, because this person wasn't being honored, and, you know, what do you do all day? Do you remember sharing that? I don't know if it was, I don't think Elaine did it to you, because that's not the relationship you guys have, but it was basically like the man gets home, and the house is kind of dirty, and yells at his wife, what do you do all day around here? And so that she gets the bright idea, I'm going to do nothing tomorrow. And so, you know, the man gets home and sees the house, what it would really look like if she did nothing all day. But women run around with their heads cut off, and we're, you know, we've had a tough day at the office, and we need our slippers and pipe and all that. And that's just crazy. So I love we live in a day and age where there's compromise, where there's communication, where there's all this. Now, I don't know about you guys, we don't go by roles for the most part. We go by who does what well. So I do laundry. I think I actually knew how to do laundry before she knew how to do laundry. I vacuum, I clean, I sometimes kind of cook. Any good men, cooks, chefs? I barbecue. Barbecuers? Cooking to me is difficult, but I do peel potatoes and different things. So in our house, we don't look at roles. We look at what needs to be done in this moment and who has the energy to do it. Because at no moment, and I would look at, you know, Mike and I'm just using different examples. I don't want it to be all about marriage, but, you know, it's funny that I would do that with Mike because we've worked a lot together on this building. And at no moment do I go, Mike, that's not my role. That's your role. We just work together as hard as we have to until it gets done. And so we've done that as family. We're trying to teach our kids how to do that. You know, we're not trying to teach our kids roles. They actually have to go through. We have 3 different positions. Every month they switch. So Caleb gets to clean toilets. You love that, don't you? Actually, Erin's one of our cleaners. She loves to clean. But every month they get to experience something different because we don't want it to be a role thing. We want it to be what needs to be done right now to get this done. Amen? I want you to talk about that because that love suffers. We're talking about seasons in our life. Our season now is very different when we had kids to now the kids the age that they are. But for most of you, if you've been here long enough, you know 3 years ago I went through a sickness in my life that caught me off guard. Totally changed our whole structure in our house. A little side note. Did you know? I wanted you to do this. Can you stand up with me for 1 second? Everybody stand up for 1 second. The men that, some of you are going to hate this. I want you to hug a neighbor. Everybody hug a neighbor. Side hug, full hug. Come on, somebody hug somebody. Give somebody else a hug. It feels good. Okay, go ahead and sit back down. Oh, thank you, Dan. I know that seems like a weird thing. I didn't want to miss it. Did you know that in that moment you release no fewer than 3 hormones in your body? Dopamine, serotonin, and Oxycontin. That's not the one. Anyway. Oxymoron, no. It was interesting. I was looking it up. In our society, well, we're afraid to sometimes touch people. So, you know, we got the new coronavirus and all that. It is interesting right now that as I was researching that there's no more than minimum 3, when you give somebody a hug, 3 hormones that are being released. The good hormones that are being released. and how they're saying, and if you look at the fact now that teachers aren't even allowed to give somebody a good side hug mm-hmm. when they're desperate and they're crying, it just breaks my heart. So it is good to give people hugs. Okay, love suffers. I did have a point to that. So when I got sick, it's interesting that the go-to thing when I was sick and my nerves were shot and I had anxiety running, pulsing through my body, it's interesting as I was looking at that study how often I needed Krista to just sit beside me or put her arm around me. I didn't even know why. There'd be times I'm like I was, it was a horrible season in my life. And I'm like, Krista, you just need to sit beside me right now. And now I totally understand it. That was actually helping release good endorphins in my body that I needed. So love suffers. It threw us into a cycle that we never experienced before.
Yeah, so that was a really challenging season. And part of the whole love suffers part is when you love someone and you see them go through things and you know that you can't do anything about it, really. And it's challenging and it hurts. And I think for me, I had to take on things that I wasn't used to taking on, and I had to lay things down at the same time because I had to concentrate on him. And it wasn't easy, but I learned things. I think you learn things about yourself that you didn't know that you had in you. And but the main part is really just laying. Sometimes you just have to lay your own dreams and desires down for a moment to help heal the person that you love, or to help them heal.
I was with my dad yesterday. We were talking about his family and stories that I didn't even know about his, my grandfather that I never met because he passed away. But just even in that, how grandma had to lay down her life when your dad was sick. And just the stories that he was telling me about, if you've ever had that type of sickness in your house where they couldn't speak loud because he was in so much pain, how many have, don't raise your hand, but that changes the entire dynamics of your house, doesn't it? See, Megan, I was thinking of you guys, you know, when the head that you're going through and the headaches, you know. It's amazing what agape love can do when you rise in that moment. And Krista rose in that moment and different ones where she loved me beyond, like, you don't expect that. You don't expect to be laid up. Anybody have the flu for 2 weeks or something like that? Like, that's just a small portion where all of a sudden you're doing all the dishes, you're doing all the cleaning, you got to clean and wipe everything down. And she's like, I didn't expect to be here. But some people have gone through that for months and years. And that is, a horrible scenario, but it's amazing, isn't it? The grace that comes into your life to be able to love someone through that. The love that you can show, and I've watched and witnessed people in here that have stepped up to a whole nother level of love, but did you know that we're supposed to be like that for each other? That, you know, we may not always know, and again, I go back to communication, because if you don't ever let somebody know what you're going through, they're trying to put pieces together of what's going on in your life. Now, I'm not saying you tell everybody, but there's times, you know, and I have friends in my life that I can go, hey, guys, I need you to pray for me right now. And they do the same with me. Hey, I'm going through this right now. Can you guys keep me in prayer? I would encourage you, if you do not have somebody, you need to find somebody. You need to find somebody to be able to go, right now, I need you to pray. I need you to pray right now. Some of you are in similar situations with family and kids. I encourage you to start, you know, we have the beautiful thing of technology where you can make a group chat as parents. Hey, guys, can you pray for my kids right now? Going through a tough time. You know, we don't even have to call each other. It's great to call. But I encourage you, if you do not have that, because that is joining together, and sometimes we need to suffer along with that person and understand and not look at what they're going through and be angry that they're grumpy. Sometimes we're just like, this is what they're going through. We gotta love them through it. Amen? You guys still awake?
Yeah, so the opposite.
Yeah, so the opposite, yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
No, go ahead.
How many still have fun in your relationships? How many have done, you got to raise your hand honestly for this, something out of the box in the last 6 months with a relationship that you're in? Out of the box, you didn't, like, this is different than we expected. When's the last time you did something fun with your spouse? With your friend? Went on a cruise? Shout them out. The last thing you did, really fun.
Lunch.
Awesome. I missed it. Great supper. These are not out of the box ideas, people. Sweden. That's out of the box. It doesn't have to be huge. Out of the box. Anybody?
A blanket fort.
You could have a lot. Anybody like randomly tickle in the last 6 months that just left you in tears? Nobody. One of the things that when you're suffering long and you're in a crisis, how many have ever found that God graces you with things that you didn't have before? So I'm usually the guy that cracks the jokes. When I was going through the season of anxiety, she became one of the funniest people. She would say something in the most random things, and I would go from, because I'd have moments of, I was just in tears trying to figure it out, and we would be laughing to the point where our gut is, you know, and so what's happening in that moment? You're releasing endorphins and hormones and all that. It was, God knew it.
And now it left me, and I don't know what happened.
We're going for a walk one day. I knew I'd have a chance to finally say it. We're going for a walk one day, and, you know, this is the season where I'm struggling, and as we're walking, she's trying to help talk and counsel, and she's like, well, just think of it like levels of dementia. I'm like, how is that helpful? But in that moment, we started to laugh so hard. I'm like, that makes no sense and is not helpful, but it is really funny. And we had a lot of moments like that. Okay, so having fun. By the way, we wanted to throw this tip in. I want to actually ask you this. How many have ever gone on vacation, just you and a friend or you and a spouse, and you actually talked about expectations on a trip?
Raise your hand. Before the trip.
Before the trip. Okay. If you do not do that, you need to start doing that. How many have ever gone on a trip and you didn't talk about expectations and you were left disappointed? She points at me. Anybody? Okay, so explain what... We didn't do this the first time. We had to learn real quick.
So the first time we went, like, by ourselves.
After kids,
we got to our resort, and I was like, I want to sit at the beach. Give me a book. I really don't care if I talk to you a whole lot. I just needed to decompress because it was right after tax season, and that's the busiest season for me. So I needed to, like, just de-stress and worrying about him, I couldn't do it at that moment. I really needed some me time. And he's thinking, oh, let's do this, let's do that. I want to go here, I want to go there. And I'm like, no, I'm just sitting right here and I'm not going anywhere. And so he had realized that he didn't communicate to me what we wanted to do. And I never communicated to him that I needed a couple days just to chill. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, let's do volleyball, dance lessons. Swim, snorkel. She's like, I am doing nothing. And if you don't talk about those things, it could disappoint you, especially if that's your whole trip. Yeah, you know, we had a pleasure of vacationing with Ryan and Megan the one day. And I remember Ryan one week. I remember like 2 days in, Ryan's like, would you stop and sit down? We have very opposite lives. So Ryan works on his hands and feet all day. I sit and counsel and talk and prepare. So when I go on vacation, I'm like, do. He's like, stop. Complete opposite. So you have to have expectations and talk through these things, right? If not, you can end up, which we did on that trip the first time we ever went, biggest fight we've ever had in our marriage.
No,
we've had bigger ones.
That one wasn't
quite
the biggest.
Yeah, we did.
Well, that was not the same thing we're talking about anyway.
So apparently we've had two pretty big fights.
No,
yeah, right now. Watch this. Hold on, I got to get the scripture.
No, you don't.
Woman, submit. But our trips, if we've had fights because we didn't actually have expectations and talked about. But listen, I've heard it doesn't matter if you go with your wife, spouse, or a friend. If you don't do that, everybody has their own thoughts of what this trip's going to look like. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are like, well, I'm going to do this and then sit, or I'm going to sit. And you just have to talk through it all. It's super, super important. But here's what I learned when I was going through my anxiety time. I had lost having fun in my life. So this is both love and we're talking about this. I just want to throw this in because going through that, my life became so serious with ministry because I had just taken over the ministry, I forgot to have fun. And I thought, did you know that God is a God that created fun? He's the God that created laughter. I think sometimes in ministry, we get so serious thinking that God wants us to do all these things that we forget we can have a lot of fun in the process, or we can go on a walk and laugh, a dinner date and laugh. We forget to laugh. And I had to learn to literally laugh again. And then I went and realized I started to stop it again because I got so serious. So everybody look at your neighbor and say, it's okay to have fun. It's okay to laugh. We recently took it to a fun level. We went with another couple, and we thought we were actually almost completely alone on our floor. We didn't see anybody. And so we got into a heated debate in our hotel room playing euchre. Guys against the girls. And little did we know, we must have just letting our voice go higher and higher and higher until a knock on our door, and the actual staff came up and asked us to be quiet. And we were like, 45 years old going, yes! We got told to be quiet in a hotel. That hasn't happened in years. We were having fun. Good, clean fun. When's the last time you had a whole lot of fun? Right? I'm going to wrap it up. It's 12 o'clock. So in a nutshell, if you use words like I can't, I have to, or I'll try, you're not powerful. So when it comes to relationship, if any part of you during this time is like, I can't talk about my feelings. No, we're powerful people. We can talk about our feelings. If at any point you said, I'll try to have some fun. No, you can have some fun. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to have fun today. I'm going to have fun today. Now ask your neighbor, how are you going to have fun? By the way, everybody take this out of your vocabulary. Well, my wife and I are going to sit down and watch a good movie. Stop it. That's not fun. It's okay to veg every once in a while. But man, we got to get out of the house. There's a lot of cool things. There's a lot of cool things in Windsor. I began to write down things I had never done in our community and began to discover there's a lot of cool things you can do. We have beautiful walkways. We have restaurants that I'd never been to. We had museums that I'd never seen before. And so often we like, well, we'll have fun today. We'll put on a funny movie. We do actually have a go-to movie that we love to laugh to. But other than that, that's not going to be your fun. How many people get away even, okay, let's start here. How many get away once a year? I don't care if it's London, Ontario. Raise your hand. You need to start. Once every 6 months. Once a month. How many go on a date once a month? Once every 2 months. Where'd all the hands go? Because if you're doing it once a month, you're at least every 2 months. So, my parents, one of the greatest things they said when we were getting married, I remember this, they said, even if you don't have the money, find something to do and go on a date once a month. Meaning, go for a walk. Pack a picnic and go sit by the waterfront. How many ever do that? How many get out of the house and just go somewhere where you love to go that recharges you? Raise your hand. Actually, put your hand down. I'm going to finish. How many know a place that recharges you? Raise your hand. Shout out a place that recharges you. Where do you get recharged? Toronto? Did I hear? No, I didn't hear Toronto. Boat? Water? Nature? The car. Just driving. Sitting in random people's driveways? Oh, driving. Driving. That's why Connie was in my driveway the other day. That was so weird. Just recharging, Jay. She likes to go for drives. How many actually go for drives? Grab a coffee, go for a drive. A lot of people I know do that. Something else you love to do. Water and nature is a big thing. How many are water and nature people? Awesome. How many are, what was that? young adults. So that's being around people. How many recharge around people? Family? How many recharge around family? What else? Give me something else. Shopping. That's dangerous. How many recharge with shopping? Did Mary say that? Was that you that yelled that out? Who yelled it out?
Oh, it was back there. Oh,
okay, that's good. I'm like, Mary, Unwin? Woo. But yeah, she's like, oh yeah, I love to shop. Buy a pair, new pair of shoes. I am charged up for the week. Eating. No, she said eating. Oh, how many recharge with eating?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she said cleaning. I'm like, ooh, that's a weird one to recharge to.
How many recharge with cleaning?
That's what I thought.
I know, that's what she thought. If that's you, come on over. Yeah, yeah. Pastor Rod said fishing. All right, so to close, everybody stand. Now, I have serious homework for you. The test is, I don't know. I'm not going to ask you. I want to encourage you. I can't force you. But if you have never done this, I encourage you, if you are married, if you're not, you can do this two ways. If you're married, do this together. If you're not married, do this by yourself. I encourage you sometime this week. This week, we got family day tomorrow. You can do it tomorrow. Go for a coffee, out of the house if you can, and dream together for the next 10 years. What are some dreams that you have for the next 10 years? And if you can only, by the way, if the only thing that you write on your paper is ministry things, because there is no separation. So when you're loving your family, you're loving God. When you love your kids, you're loving God because he's given them to take you to take care of them. When Krista and I are on vacation, we walk and talk about things. We talk about the future. We talk about our relationship. We talk about life. That's why I say it takes work. So I encourage you to sit. Now, some of you are going to take it up and you're going to actually see, you know, how powerful it is. What do the next 10 years hold and what are some dreams that you have? Dreams that you have with each other, with your kids, with, you know, a job. And let the other person, if you normally dominate the conversation like I do, because I'm a talker, let the other person talk. Listen to their heart. And you may find that there's dreams in them that you didn't even know were there. If you're single, it's okay for the next 5 years, next 10 years. What do I dream of? What do I want to see happen in my life? Amen? So Lord, I thank you that you want the body of Christ to have healthy relationships all around. Lord, we pray, Father God, that as we begin to talk about these things, that our lives would get better. Our relationships would get better. We'd learn to communicate better. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us the ability to love better than anything. That true love comes from you. Pray you bless the marriages, bless the relationships, bless the single people. Lord, I pray that there would be blessings upon every person here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.